Why do we get more sedentary as we age? The truth is, we don't have to, and it would probably be better for us if we didn't. That's the message Caroline Paul shares in her new book, Tough Broad, From Boogie Boarding to Wing Walking, How Outdoor Adventure Improves Our Lives as We Age. Caroline is an author of fiction, nonfiction, and memoir, and a lifelong adventurer. Here she is to share five of her key insights.
Hi, my name's Caroline Paul, and I'm the author of seven books, including the New York Times bestseller, The Gutsy Girl. My latest book is my quest to understand my own fulfilling aging journey through science and psychology and embarking on outdoor adventures like scuba diving with an 80-year-old to learning to BMX bike race from the oldest female racer today, who was 74. The book is called Tough Broad, From Boogie Boarding to Wing Walking, How Outdoor Adventure Improves Our Lives as We Age. And here are five key insights I learned along the way. Insight number one, the way we look at our own aging predicts how well we age. So the book came out of a realization when I was 55, and one day I was surfing in cold winter swell, and I looked around, and there were no women my age out there. There were lots of men my age, and even older men, some as old as 75. And I'm not even a very good surfer, and I knew there were lots of women who were much better than me. But the same thing kept happening when I was on my electric skateboard, when I was flying my experimental aircraft. I saw men my age and older, but no women. So why aren't they out there? Turns out the messaging around aging for women in this country is really toxic. We are told that this will be a time of like breaking bones and cognitive decline, fading attractiveness. I mean, basically, we're boring. For sure, the uncertainty of the outdoors is way too much for us, we're told. And the rest is a white-knuckle ride through illness and cultural irrelevance. But here's what I learned in the writing of this book as I looked into the idea of mindset and all the possible psychological reasons that I wasn't seeing women outside when I was there. So studies show that the way we look at our own aging predicts how well we age. So this means if you think aging is going to be a time of frailty and diminution, I mean, you have a significantly higher chance of cardiac issues and cognitive decline earlier. And the opposite is true. If you see your aging journey as full of like exhilaration and exploration, you're healthier, you're happier, and guess what? This is kind of mind-blowing. You live 7.5 years longer. Insight number two. The outdoors is the single best antidote for women against this toxic ageism. So it's great that science is telling us that we need a positive mindset about our own aging. But what they don't say is, how do you get that mindset in the face of such terribly depressing messaging? I mean, just a mantra and positive thinking is not really going to do it. So for the book, I got in the water with the wave chasers, a group of 60, 70, and 80-year-olds, even some in their 90s, who boogie board together in San Diego. Now, boogie boardings are a really simple sport. You just wade out, maybe you're wearing fins, you're holding like this flotation square that kind of resembles a cafeteria tray, and then you ride a wave, or even in their case, you ride just the white water of a wave to shore. And even the wave chasers told me, you don't really need to know anything. You don't even need to be fit. In my mind, boogie boarding was a sport for kids. So I was shocked when one of the women I interviewed, named Lorraine Voigt, told me, Caroline, boogie boarding changed my life. I get goosebumps when I say it right now. I asked her how, and she said, you know, I've never been an outdoor person. I've never had an outdoor life. And look, here I am in this vast Pacific Ocean. And I remember she like pointed out to the big ocean. And look at the way I get tumbled by the water, how I come 3 times a week. I'm committed to this group, how cold the water is, how windy it can be. And here I am, I'm 62 years old and I am in it. And I saw that what was happening is that everything about boogie boarding and outdoor adventure in general was a direct rebuke to all the messaging that told Lorraine that as an older woman, she was frail, she wasn't sharp, she wasn't fun, you know, her life was boring. Well, try telling any of the wave chasers that. When Lorraine got into the water, what she was doing, more than boogie boarding, was that she was upending what she and others thought she could and could not do. So what nature asks of us when we engage with her really puts a lie to all that we're told about our aging journey. This is how we deeply embody that positive mindset that the scientists tell us is so vital to our health and our future, an outdoor activity of exhilaration, exploration, and physical vitality. Insight number three, cultivate awe because it's really good for you. So awe is defined as the emotion we feel in the presence of something mysterious, something bigger than ourselves, a sort of fear, confusion, and wonder all mixed up. Awe is often associated with a religious experience, but it's also easily triggered by nature, say, you know, looking up at the night sky or down into the vast Grand Canyon. And it turns out that the science tells us awe is really good for us. As I relate in the book, I found awe when I went wing walking, which is when you climb out of a perfectly good biplane cockpit while at 3,000 feet in the air and you walk to the center of the wing. In my case, it wasn't wing walking, it was wing slithering, it was wing crawling. Then, once I strapped myself in to the king post in the center on the top of the wing, the pilot executed a series of loops, hammerheads, and barrel rolls. And yes, my brain was jettisoned into awe. But luckily, you don't have to find awe by wing walking. It turns out you can access it just by walking. So scientists from the UCSF Memory Care and Aging Institute sent volunteers between the ages of 60 and 80 on 15-minute daily outdoor ambles over an 8-week period. And the instruction they gave them was to look at everything with fresh, childlike eyes. So in this way, the scientists were cultivating awe in the people who were walking. And then, almost as an afterthought, and I love this part, this is so bonkers, researchers asked participants to take a selfie during each excursion. Now, these awe walkers, as they were called, were soon self-reporting an uptick in well-being and a decrease in anxiety and more gratitude and compassion. Scientists also found significantly lower inflammation, which is a key for good health. Most notably, those selfies, though, which initially featured the walker's face in the whole screen, it's kind of like we normally take selfies, they began to change over the course of 8 weeks, and the faces began receding, and the surroundings began to take up most of the photo instead. Scientists call this the small self perspective, and it suggested to them that the participants had become more curious with a much healthier sense of their place in the wider world. Scientists actually call awe a reset button for the brain because it kind of shakes up our neural patterns and it makes us literally more open-minded. And it's worth noting here that we actually live in a world of anti-awe devices like our phones and our computers because those screens narrow our focus and they ask us to think small. And they also center us and they make us feel kind of powerful and in control. That's the opposite of awe. The upshot is, by slowing down and allowing yourself to marvel at leaves, at tree bark, at insects, at birds, you too can uncenter yourself and reset some old neural pathways and lower your cortisol and your inflammation and really make way for novel thoughts and deeper emotion like gratitude and compassion. And you can even try wing walking if the spirit moves you. Insight number four. Mother Nature is medicinal. Now, I knew on an intuitive level that I felt better after getting outside. But it turns out there is some real hard biological evidence for this. Things like the chemicals in trees strengthen our immune system and they lower blood pressure. And they've done studies on birdsong that show it elevates both our mood and our cognitive ability. And they think it's because the sound of happy preening birds signals to our primitive self that no predators are about. And when the birds go quiet, as they do in urban environments, our nervous system really fires up, like ready to fight or flight for whatever's hiding in the bushes. Also, the rounded shapes in nature, like the horizons and hills, along with the repeating fractal elements of things like trees and leaves, match well with the way our retina is built. And this allows for ease in processing when we're outside. So the brain, which is constantly filtering stimuli, just has to deal with less noise and busy work. And compare that to what it has to do in an urban setting with the racing traffic and the sudden loud noises and the hard linear architecture. So going outside is restful for the brain. And this is why people who took a walk in green space showed significant improvement in memory and cognition when they were tested afterwards. So the general prognosis from all these studies is that like 15 to 45 minutes in a natural setting of any sort increases well-being. 5 hours a month is the prescription for ongoing emotional and physical restoration, but hey, the more the better, the greener the better. So people tell me they feel a lot of fear about picking up an outdoor activity and they're reluctant. And I say to that, well, look, we all take pharmaceuticals when they promise to improve our health and we seem to need them. And yet there was always a long list of possible side effects, vomiting, diarrhea, don't drive that big vehicle, and none of us blink an eye. And so I urge people to think of the trepidation that they might feel about going outside. It's just like another side effect. And it will in fact lead you to not just better physical health, but better emotional health, like an overall well-being that is really hard to beat. Insight number 5. We can and must learn something new at an older age. So one of our biggest concerns as we age is cognitive health. It turns out that one of the best ways to keep your brain firing is novelty. So that means learning something new. But when was the last time you learned something new? I mean, I asked my friends and everybody was like, nope, except learning to stand 6 feet from someone when the pandemic hit. That was pretty much it. It turns out that as we age, we think we know what we like, or we think our brain is too calcified to be tasked with new challenges. But, you know, the research proves that the brain has what we call plasticity, and it's constantly making new cells, no matter how old you are, and it's laying down new neural pathways. And the outdoors is a great place to bring novelty into your life, mostly because Mother Nature is always uncertain. I mean, you go to a walk in the park, for instance, it might rain, you might see a bird you didn't expect, you might have forgotten the chocolate snacks. Oh boy, that's crazy. I mean, it's wildly novel out there and your brain has to adapt. So for the book, I learned to fly a gyrocopter. And what I noticed is not only did I learn in a normal amount of time this very strange flying machine, but without all the insecurities and the need to be liked or the need to prove something that I had as a younger person, I learned to fly it better. I also interviewed Vijaya Srivastava, whose doctor told her that at 68, she really needed to exercise and prescribed Vijaya swim lessons. Now, Vijaya told me that she had never had an outdoor lifestyle at all, not even a walking practice. Like the only thing she'd done that was even remotely active was badminton. That's what it was when she was very, very small. And when the doctor prescribed swimming, she told her, I'm afraid of drowning. But Vijaya is also someone who had a really adventurous spirit. So she enlisted a friend and she began learning to swim. And every lesson she took was a challenge. I mean, not just for her brain, but also for her sense of self. And yet she kept upending what she thought she could and could not do. And she told me that once she began swimming, she thought, wow, what else am I capable of? And she began to pick up other activities, not just outdoor activities, and her whole life opened up. That's pretty powerful. Finally, I wanted to add one quick thing, which is that the 60s was the best decade. That's what everybody older than me told me. Not the sexy, dewy 20s, the striving 30s, or the family-oriented 40s. It's the 60s. That's not what society is telling us these days. Well, it turns out as I publish this book, I am 60. And I'm telling you, I am looking forward to this decade. Hey, thanks for listening. And I hope you too will pick up this book because life is going to be full of exploration and exhilaration.
Thank you, Caroline. That was Caroline Paul with 5 big ideas from Tough Broad, from boogie boarding to wing walking, how outdoor adventure improves our lives as we age. You might also like our book bite for Will to Wild, Adventures Great and Small to Change Your Life by Shelby Stanger. I'm Michael Kovnat. have an adventurous day.